listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 120. Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the, yes, you're in underwear. Okay, John Brownstone. I couldn't tell for a second. They're, I thought you were sitting here naked.
They closely match, yeah.
Yeah. Sexy, though.
Thank you.
It's good. You see
That's
here.
What I was going for.
All furry and naked. I'm good with that. I'm sure the listeners at home, some of them might be good with that, too.
I don't know. I may scare some.
Hey, I've been showing you off on my blog, so
That's true.
Anybody wants to know what you look like naked.
I've been showing you off, too. So.
Can we? I think we have a show we're supposed to be
doing. Okay.
Oh, okay. This week, we're talking about what it means to build each other up and make each other better in your DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. This is your first time listening. Glad to have you. And yes, we're like this all the time. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at lovingds1. That's lovingds and the number one, and I hate that fucking handle.
Girl.
I'm going to get that tattooed on me somewhere. All links are in the show notes. So we don't have a sponsor this week.
No.
And if you are a kinky company and would like to sponsor us, hint, hint. But I did realize there's something we're not pimping very much, and we need to like do better about that.
Oh?
We are accidentally... Me? Well, no. Well, yes. Wait, what? So glad nobody paid for this spot. Oh, God. No, it's sort of dawning on me slowly because sometimes it takes me a while. We're building a podcast network over here.
Yes.
We have two podcasts right now, and we're about to have a third.
Correct.
So, of course, there's Loving BDSM because you're listening to our voice. I run a podcast for another website I run called The Smut Lancer, and it's The
That's
Smut
true.
Lancer Podcast. And it is for people who write or create content in any way, so it doesn't just have to be writing, about sex or kink or anything in the sort of sex and kink space. And you're trying to make money at it, whether you're trying to make money off your blog or you want to be a freelance writer or whatever. I have a podcast for that. And if you
Correct.
Go to thesmutlancer.com, you can get all that. Mm-hmm. And then starting in March,
yeah,
you are about to
Me.
Have your own podcast
uh-huh.
For Masturbation Monday.
Reading Smut.
Reading Smut. So we are not the ones creating the smut, but you are the one reading
it,
the smut.
Yes.
So if any of you find John Brownstone's voice soothing or sexy, take your pick, in March.
God bless you if you do.
I happen to like it, quite well. Frankly. I might be biased. But yeah, so starting the first Monday in March, that first
yeah.
episode will drop. I should be all professional and do a teaser and get subscriptions, but I don't have time for that shit. So, so I'm going to link to, in the show notes, to the Masturbation Monday main website. And that way, if you're interested, go there. If you subscribe to the blog, you will get notification of when the first episode comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take a couple days, but it will get on all the major podcast apps within a couple days after the first episode. Unless I'm like wizard enough to do it earlier than that. But
you are magical.
I'm something. Magically delicious? No, that's a different
well,
conversation.
That's yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yes, we are building a podcast network. And
yeah.
if I somehow eke out more hours of my day, I'm sure I can come up with...
With another one.
Well, and you know, technically, I do have another podcast.
Oh, no.
It's the one I do for Patreon.
That's true.
So I do still have Patreon. I don't really promote it through Loving BDSM that much because... If you're listening to Loving BDSM, I really want you to join the Loving BDSM community.
I was going
to
say that was the only one I don't edit, but I do.
You do edit that one. But no, for Patreon, I have a podcast where I'm reading old blog posts. I have over 1,700 blog posts on my website.
Dang.
And some of them are, and some of them are, oh. And so I'm starting with the ohs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that is, that's going on. And I think eventually, probably several months down the line, I may take those audio files and start adding them to my blog itself to make the blog even more accessible than it hopefully already is,
mm-hmm.
maybe. So we're building a podcast thing, too. It's not an official network, but that's only because I haven't sat down to research how to make it an official network.
Yet.
So, yeah, that's a thing we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if for anybody wondering, no, I don't know when I sleep either. So let's get into announcements, because we do have a couple of announcements.
Yes.
One, I think the moment we say it, some people are going to go, well, no shit, but it took me a minute to figure this out.
Yeah, we had to have a talk about that yesterday.
So, as many of you know, we are going to London in mid-March for both Eroticon, but also for
our honeymoon.
Right. And I'm working feverishly right now to get all my clients happy and tucked away so I can do that without having to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the trip to London. So we're in Florida. We have to drive to Mississippi, where my mom is, who will take care of the kids for us, pulling them out of school for several days. I've never done that as a parent. I know other people do. I've never done it.
And then from there
we're driving
to New Orleans.
To New Orleans, where we got a direct flight.
Yeah.
To London, which was wonderful. So that's like a day and a half of travel just from Florida to get to the airport, essentially, the way we're doing it. And then we're going to London. And then we're coming back from London to New Orleans to drive back to where my family lives in Mississippi to spend a day just like resting, then to spend another day driving home to Florida.
Yes.
So you could see why a certain lovely daddy dom said...
Well, we'll talk about that more in the bonus section.
Right. We need to not record episodes for a couple of weeks or worry about it. So
anyway,
we're taking a hiatus in mid-March. That's all that I was trying to get to.
Okay.
That's where going with it.
Okay.
Are you rushing me? I feel like you're rushing
me. I am.
You are rushing
me. I am.
Have you got a hot date I don't know
I
about?
I do.
Is he or she cute?
Very.
Would you tell me if it's a he or a she?
No.
Damn. Okay. So all of that to say, in my rambling way, I don't know why you're trying to curb my rambling ways. I think after all these years, you should have figured out. Not happening. That in mid-March for 2 weeks, we're taking time off so that we can actually enjoy our trip and have one less thing to worry about. I'm doing the same thing with my Smut Lancer podcast, because if I'm going to do it with this one, why wouldn't I do it with the other one? So yeah, so that's coming. We'll remind you.
Now, mine, when it debuts in March, will not be on
hiatus. No, it will not, because I can schedule it ahead of time.
Right, and I've got a number of episodes pre-recorded.
Exactly. So you will still get John Brownstone's voice if you somehow need that for other things. And those of you going to Eroticon, we know several listeners who are, you'll get to hear his voice in person. So there you go.
Ooh.
I know.
I can't wait to meet him.
Stop! We've been talking almost 10 minutes. We hadn't even gotten anything.
Go ahead.
Okay, the second one is an announcement. It's a big announcement. Like, mm-hmm. It's a thing we've been talking about for 2 months, and finally I went, this is it.
Yeah.
We're doing the thing.
Right.
Okay, so we are looking for a professional, meaning you've done this before, virtual assistant. And the reason we're telling you guys is because we know we need them to be kink friendly. And we figured somebody out there is either the person or knows the person. But we are going to be hiring a professional virtual assistant to help us with some of our online admin work, scheduling social media, helping us promote stuff online,
right.
Helping us deal with admin work, very light graphics work. And when I say light graphics work, I use a thing called Canva, which is like idiot proof.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean. We're not going to be hiring anybody until sometime in April, probably late April.
Right.
Because we won't really even have conversations with anybody until like late March, April.
Until after we get back from
right,
from London.
Exactly. And we know we have listeners out there who would volunteer their time in a heartbeat and would say, I'll help you, I'm happy to help you. And yet that's not your main job and you have a lot of other things going on. We love that about you.
Yes, we do.
We are treating this like a professional hire, as this is weird, like an employer or a...
Employee.
Right. No, well, not employee. They'll be a contractor.
Well,
it'll be a freelancer.
Okay, yeah.
But it's still that whole we're checking references. We're going to do a paid trial to make sure we
mm-hmm.
fit well and it's a good, you know, skills match up with needs and all that
right.
good stuff. We are working under a very teeny tiny budget right now. But if our virtual assistant, whoever they end up being, is able to help us with what we need, then that budget should expand ideally.
True.
And then we will be able to do more together. So I'm putting it out to you guys first before we put it out anywhere else, because I know we have somebody has the hiccups over there in the background. He's trying really hard to hide it, so I outed him. But we're putting it out to you guys first because we know we have a really diverse group of listeners.
True.
And even if that's not you, you might know somebody who can do the job. Maybe you have a partner who, you know, whatever. But yeah, kink friendly, sex friendly, they got to be, you know, understand they might see some boobs. Understand that there's going to be some language used that, you know, vanilla client would not ask for.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. And y'all will be, y'all are the first to hear about it. We haven't even popped it out on Twitter yet. We probably won't even start talking about it for a little bit longer, but I wanted to put it out to you guys first. So there's that. Oh, are we,
Nothing. Go ahead. Carry on. Sorry.
Well, you should just say it now.
Well, Fet Life would be another place to possibly look.
Oh, sure. I'm sure we will, but we're starting with listeners first.
True.
All right. Exactly. I'm sorry. You mean the world doesn't revolve around Twitter? Everything's not on Twitter?
It's not.
I don't know if we're gonna put things on Fet Life too. I guess that means there's life beyond Twitter, which leads me perfectly into our topic today. Finally,
see?
If you're new here, I'm not gonna pretend it's not like this every week. for the second week in a row, Twitter to the rescue.
Yeah.
This time though, it was my lurking abilities that found the topic.
Yeah.
I could be a professional lurker. You never know I'm there.
You're better at it than I am.
I am, I know.
And I'm pretty darn good.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're the best at everything. Yes, you are. Okay, can we get into the show now? I love you, Daddy. God. I have to put a note that says just fast forward to minute like 11 and a half. No, but some dominants and kinksters in general that I really respect have been tweeting. I don't know what happened, like what caused sort of the rush of these tweets, but they were tweeting about, primarily they were dominants or speaking from a dominant side, talking about in a DS relationship, yes, you're supposed to have a good time, especially as a dominant, you're in control, you get what you want, consensually you take what you want. But I also, the submissive should be getting what they want and need.
True.
And also, you should be building them up, not sort of crushing them under your boot heel kind of thing.
Right.
And it got me thinking about how that's, I feel like it's sort of sad. We have to say in a DS relationship, please do not break your toys. Please do not treat your submissives
shit. You don't want to break your toys because you can't play with them when they're broken.
Exactly. But it's yet another moment of, this is just how the best side of human interaction should be. You go into it trying to not only get what you need from it, but make sure your partner gets what they need and build each other up.
Right.
And make each other better in a mutually beneficial way. Not in a, there's a term for it, an enabling way, but there's a term for it. Codependent kind of way.
Yes.
Not like that, but in a healthy, self-actualized, introspective, I understand, you know, my role, I understand your role, and we're working together to mutually benefit each other. And the problem is we have to focus on submissives because there are so many doms and tops who think, hey, I'm in charge. I can do whatever I want. And fuck you if it's not what you need, submissive over there, because that's not the point. Which, that's not dominant behavior. That's asshole behavior. Well, that's abusive behavior.
That's controlling behavior.
That's arrogant behavior. Yeah. There's so many words to describe that behavior. But I actually could not really even write bullet point notes for this one because I feel like it's sort of a freewheeling conversation. Like, part of me is like, you should just say be kind to one another and treat each other well and done. We're done with the whole show. But clearly we're not, because all these kinksters that I respect kind of went on a Twitter, not rampage, they weren't storming the streets of Twitter, but they were all just sort of saying, this is how it is.
It was a lot of the same thing at the same time from different people.
And I would be curious to know if something had happened or they had seen something or if they were just all kind of thinking it at the same time. Yeah. I mean, that does happen. But it got me thinking about the fact that that's how a good, healthy relationship is supposed to be. I don't care how you identify. And just like everything else in life, if you sucked at it in your vanilla life, it's not going to automatically become better once you go DS.
No. DS is not a fix.
No, it can be helpful, but only if you do the hard work to let it be helpful.
Right. Like anything else, it takes work and effort. I've used this term before, and I really like the term mindfulness.
Yes.
All right. That's a good term to cover it. Mindfulness. Had a comment from a listener the other day about talking about humiliation.
Mm.
And that is something I do want to talk about in the future. But, humiliation has its time and place. For those who want it. Even you like a certain amount of humiliation play.
Oh, sure.
It's between you and I. But humiliation for the sake of being cruel and actually putting somebody down. And
because you think it makes you more dominant, more powerful
It doesn't. It doesn't. Now I lost my train of thought. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to my world. My train derails all the time. Well, I will say this. Maybe this will help you. I was thinking about, we had friends over the other day.
Right.
And they're kind of a daddy baby girl couple, but they're also kind of a master slave. Like, they have taken pieces and parts of every type of dynamic that work for them.
True.
And they've incorporated it into their relationship, which is what you do. But they were, especially him, he's the dominant, he was saying that for years he thought something was wrong with him. First, he thought something was wrong with him because he didn't know about BDSM. He didn't know why he had these urges. But then he thought something was wrong with him because he did not want to be the type of dominant, or did not even want the type of submissive that was sort of the stereotypical, what's presented as fantasy, what you see most often,
right,
that's publicly presented as DS. Mm-hmm.
He said it that, he wanted someone who challenged him.
Right. And he's the other person that tweaked this topic in my brain and made my brain start doing the spinny turny thing it does, where he said, my job is to make her better. And right. She looked at me and said, and my job is to make him better. And I went, ta-da!
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine that.
And what that often means, especially for dominance, is that you have to, if you are watching how other dominants behave, at least publicly, like in a scene or in, God help us, in porn or in any sort of fantasy kind of level, and you're thinking, oh, that's how dominants are? Okay, but I don't really like it. Well, that's the problem, is that you don't have to be the type of dominant that is presented in pop culture or presented in fantasy or presented in porn. Quite frankly, 90% of dominants aren't actually like that.
Right.
It's a role. It's a fantasy.
And I just remembered now.
Your train got back on track.
My train got back on track. The humiliation play is fun and it's intense and can be a very intimate thing. But when you start stomping on somebody's self-esteem...
Oh, sure, when you're tearing them down.
When you're tearing somebody down, that's not going to make them want to serve you.
No, Now, I know that there's sort of a theory out there or a belief in DS that you can tear down a submissive and then build them back up and make them stronger.
I don't hold that belief.
I have not seen that work well in most cases.
No, and I hate to say this, and this is, nothing against any submissive out there. In my case, I have seen that most submissives are already beaten down in many cases.
They even got there.
But before they even got there. And what they, really need is someone to help build them up.
Well, and I can...
More cases than not.
Absolutely. I think most of the time, that does not work. Why? Because a person... The dominant who can legitimately, quote, tear you down and get you down to sort of raw, basic, the center core of who you are and pull off all the outer, shell of who you
layers.
Thank you. See, my train derailed too. And then build you back up. That takes a skill and a mastery of not only themselves, but of human nature.
Human psyche
and communication and consent.
Right.
That, God help us, the vast majority, especially of internet doms, do not possess. They cannot do that. Do those Johns exist? Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. And if you ever happen to come across one that is that skilled and capable, cool, great. But no, the dude who DMs you in the middle of the night and, you know, says they can do this thing and their job is to tear you down and
send
build
me
you
a picture of your panties.
Right. Whatever. No. Block and delete and move on, because that person is a, at best, a fucking idiot, and at worst, a predator. Oh, too strong? Too harsh?
You're heading down that ranty rabbit hole.
Yes. Yes, I am. I didn't know I had such strong feelings. I thought we were going to talk about the feel good, make each other better thing. Sorry. maybe I should do bullet points next time.
Let me get the leash so I can keep you on a short cane.
Okay. No, that's the thing. You can have the kind of play like humiliation play, or sure. You can have the kind of play that's really harsh and kind of hard to deal with and kind of can mess with your mind a little bit and make you question yourself and question what you want. And some of that's just a natural part of it. No matter how you play, you can have really gentle play and have that kind of thought process from it. But if you do not have absolute consent and communication and a strong relationship and the freedom and not only the freedom to know you can say anything, but to actually know you have the freedom to say what you need to say, to express yourself within your dynamic,
right.
To say this worked, that didn't work, how, you know, then that teardown thing is potentially very dangerous and does not build you up and does not create a safe space for both of you to be exactly who you are.
Correct.
So submissives have the problem that they come across these DOMs that just want to, like I said earlier, just crunch them under their boot heel and make them smaller and lower than them, because it feeds their weird, air quote, domly ego. But at the same time, DOMs suffer from this whole, new ones especially, oh, that's what dominance is? Oh, is that what my partner is asking for? It doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right to me, but I want to give my partner what they want. And I know I kind of have these urges. I'll go try that. And then because it doesn't fit and they're trying to be somebody they're not, they're definitely not their best selves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten many messages, both from Dom and Sub, where the complaint is that the Dom is backing off completely from it because they're like, I don't like this. This doesn't fit. And sometimes they're not really DOMs. They tried. They wanted to make their partner happy, and it didn't work. But
it's
sometimes,
not that they're. It's not even sometimes that they're not a good DOM. Sometimes it's not a good fit.
That's where I was going. I didn't say they weren't a good DOM. What I said was that sometimes they're not actually a dominant. They're trying, mm-hmm. and they're not.
True.
But sometimes, yes, they're trying to be the dominant they think they're supposed to be instead of the dominant they are.
Right.
Because they have also been sucked into these views that there's only a certain way to be a dominant. And that is the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Having control or having the power or being in charge looks like something different for all of us.
I wasn't immune to that trap either. I'm going to date myself back in the days of bulletin boards on the internet. You know, I found some of the chat rooms, and I would see how these dominants would come across, and I was like, oh my gosh, I guess I'm not dominant. I'm not arrogant. I'm not overbearing. I'm, you know.
I'm a legitimately nice human being.
Yeah.
What? We don't. No, submissives don't like nice human beings. We only like the ones who treat us like trash. And, you know, that was a joke,
yeah.
By the way. I think that the message is starting to get through to more and more submissives. I see a lot of submissives online who are much less afraid to call out a dom for their bullshit.
True.
And let's not mistake this, an air quote dom, and say, no, I don't have to call you anything. I don't know you. And no, I don't have to do what you say. And no, you don't get to speak to me that way.
Yeah.
And of course the common thing back is, oh, well, you're clearly not a submissive. And you know,
yeah.
Every time I see somebody get into
wrong answer,
exactly. When I see people get into this argument online, I'm like, just stop arguing, because you are right, they are wrong, mm-hmm. but I like just stop. They're not, you're not changing their mind. You're not. They're going to go out and do it to somebody else. And the only thing I can hope is that enough of us out there who are willing to share our kink lives and our kink experiences, the more that we express how it is for us, the more people will come across, any of us, not just John Brownston and myself, but anybody else out there who has these kinds of conversations, and will learn that, oh no, you get to tell a total, you certainly get to tell a total stranger, fuck you, hell no, go the hell away. But within the confines of a relationship, you get to say, no, that doesn't, that's not working for me. No, that's, yeah, that's not what's good for me. And to get back to what we meant to start talking about.
Well, okay, may I interject? Oh,
no, I'm in mid-rant. You are not allowed to talk. Of course, Dottie.
Baby girl.
We're both a little like,
yes,
today.
We are. You know, I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. I tell stories over and over again.
You are.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's part of why I love you.
Yeah. You know, when Kayla and I had met and we were building our DS relationship, we were, we had a habit that during my lunch break, I would always call her every day.
Mm-hmm. I liked that.
And we'd talk on the phone while I was out walking. And in the process of our conversation one day, I said to her, I don't think I was calling you baby girl at that time, but no, I think that was pre-baby girl days.
God, that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. And I said to her, I said, you know, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would that be? And she replied to me, I would write. And I told her, and I said, okay, I will support you in whatever way necessary for you to achieve your dream.
Famous last words.
Mm. And I was met with total silence for a moment. Mm-hmm. She was just flabbergasted. And, you know, she came back and she was like, no one has ever done that, said that to me before. But, you know, that's what you do. You know, as the person I was falling in love with and the person who became my submissive and my baby girl, you know, you support them, you build them up, you help them.
And the same is true in reverse.
Right. And go ahead.
Thank you. So, from a submissive perspective, mm-hmm. I know there are air quote doms out there who would think, well, of course a submissive should support me as their dominant. I'm in charge and that's their job. They're serving me. There's service and there's submission, and some people submit and don't serve, and some people serve mm-hmm. and they feel like it's separate from their submission. And for me, it all just kind of lumps into one like ball of what it means to be submissive. But I still remember the look on your face the day you said to me, I have really enjoyed this wood turning thing. I think I want to do something more with it, but it means I need to buy this like $200 or $300 tool. And I said, buy it.
Yeah.
Do it. If that's what you want, if that's what's calling to you and you can see a path forward, or not even see a path forward, but you just can't not do it, then do it, and I support you 100%. Every time you've said, I've got to buy this thing for the business, and oh, I'm going to have to put it on a credit card because it's kind of expensive, I've said, is it a thing to build the business to move it forward? Yes. Buy it. Why? Not just because I love you, of course because I love you, but because mm-hmm. I also want you to do the things that fulfill you, that make you a better right. human being. This isn't about being a better dom. This isn't about being a better man. This is about being a better human being. And we are in a position, thanks to a good amount of privilege that we do have,
yeah.
where we can do that.
Right.
And even if we couldn't do that, I'm going to support whatever way we have to find to do that because it fulfills you and it is something that is about you and what you love. And because I love you and I want you to be the fully self-actualized human being that you can be. If wood turning is about that and you need some tool of whose name I do not know and whose purpose I have no fucking clue about, then I'm going to support that.
Yeah.
Now, part of this, and it comes at different times in different ways. What you did for me saying that went a long way in trust I was already starting to feel for you, but it went a long way in building that trust because no, I had never had somebody outside of my mother tell me that they would support whatever I did. Okay. Not an ex-husband, not an ex-lover, like nobody. So when you said that and then followed through, like, you kind of rode my ass a little hard for a while there, getting me to do some stuff.
Yeah.
And now he's like, God, can pull her back a little bit?
In a little bit.
You unleashed a monster.
Yes, I did.
But because not only you said it, but you followed through, I learned I could trust you. Now, on the flip side, fast forward several years, I could say to you, spend this money, do this thing, follow your dream. One, because you had already done it for me, and just on a right versus wrong level, that was the right thing to do. But two, I already had the trust in you. I knew you well enough. We had built this relationship up to a point where I knew you were not going to be whimsical with my money. Well, and you weren't just going to put us in the poorhouse to go follow a dream.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, you saw what I was doing and you know, the things that I was creating, and it wasn't, and I wasn't just, you know, frivolously.
That was the word I was looking for a minute ago.
And
that's the thing. Even if I had reservations about it, we have the relationship, which is what I would like more people to have. And I think a lot of people do have, where I could have said, I want to support you in this dream. I have reservations. Can we talk about it?
True.
Can we work something out? Just as every time I'm like, hey, can we expand this weird dream of mine a little bit bigger? You go, I support you completely. Can we please have a conversation about this first?
Right. We need to have a business meeting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but with you, see, I'm a little bit more cautious. I've been down this road before and I've had a business before. And I think with you, while I do support you and I believe in your dream, after how many years? 4 years now we've been together, living together?
Living together, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've come to a realization of your manic side. And how that can, you know, produce a Niagara Falls of ideas. So, you know, sometimes I need to be the voice of reason.
Sure.
You know.
That's the thing, though. Building each other up, making the other better, is not giving carte blanche to do whatever the hell you want.
True.
It still has to be a partnership where you sit down and you talk about it. But when you see opportunities where you can support the other, and that's big and small. You have supported my professional goals and dreams.
Right.
You have sat with me on the therapist couch while I've freaked out and cried over something because you know that me going to therapy makes me a better, more well-centered human being.
Correct.
And so that is another way that you help me be better as a human being. Just like when you were going through things, especially after your sister died, my first thing was go talk to the therapist, get an appointment, right? Because what I wanted was for you to be the best version of who you can be. I am also, side note, a little annoyed that my therapist took one look at me and went, how often can I pencil you in? And took one look at John Brownstone and went, oh yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Just go handle your shit. You're fine. No, I don't need to psychologically test you. You're good. I'm not bitter about that at all.
No. Not in the least.
But, you know, and I think we're talking about very large things, careers.
Yeah.
When you left your old job after all the drama from, you know, mid-2017, we, you know, those were big decisions, and we,
right.
I supported you, and we support each other. Mm-hmm. But it happens in really small ways too.
Yeah.
You know, it's in, oh my gosh, I'm trying this new thing around the house. Can I do this? And the other one going, yeah, you can do it. You were cooking a recipe out of one of my cookbooks yesterday.
Right.
And I was like, do you need some help? You got this? Anything I can help you with? And you're like, no, I'm cool. I got it. Whatever. But we're having these conversations because mm-hmm. supporting
and it
other,
came out pretty well, I must
really
say so myself.
I'm looking forward to leftovers. But supporting each other isn't always just on the really gigantic things. The gigantic things are what stick out in our mind.
Yeah.
And they can have... they can be turning points in life where if your partner lets you down on that big thing, then it can color how you see them and how you feel mm-hmm. about them and how you interact with them. But it's the daily small things that, to me, because they happen all the time over and over again, can have just as mm-hmm. big of an impact. They take longer to show, you know, because yeah. we'll, a lot of us will put up with bullshit for a very long mm-hmm. time until we will not. And it's in those spaces in between where our partner is not building us up and they're tearing us down or they're ignoring yeah. us or they're just not caring.
But
that
but see
things happen.
What happens, and this is the beauty of it all, in supporting you in achieving your dreams and building you up and, you know, telling you, you know, yeah, you got this, you can do this. You know, it wasn't an immediate thing, but it comes around.
Mm-hmm.
It comes around full circle. And when I needed it, she was there supporting me and building me up.
Exactly.
And through all this, especially in the time that we've been physically together more so than when we were long distance, you know, It built your trust in me, which then you gave more of your submission to me,
mm-hmm.
which in turn also made me a stronger dominant to, you know, it's like a snowball effect.
Exactly. And there is no way to really see what the first step is. It's kind of a constant do your best for each other every day, big and mm-hmm. small, because there will come that pivotal moment where just the right thing said at just the right moment changes things.
Right.
And from there, yes, that snowball effect occurs because now you build up momentum and you build up that trust.
Right.
And you won't get it right every time. And let me say, sometimes helping your partner be the best that they can be and to achieve dreams or to just... maybe have a better physical health or mental health or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is that they need, more confidence. Sometimes it's not in saying yes to everything they want to do.
Oh,
quite
absolutely.
Quite frankly, sometimes it's saying, I don't think that's a good idea,
yeah.
and here's why. You
right.
know, so as a dominant, you have a lot of, we've talked in the past about both sides have responsibility.
Correct.
But as a dominant, you have a lot of responsibility. I have handed you control and said, you're in charge 24/7. I defer to you in all things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I don't push back. I know listeners are shocked by that.
Shocking.
But it does mean that just because I throw out some big ass hairy goal thing I want to do, that you mm-hmm. don't sometimes have to go, okay, that sounds really interesting, but can we look at things realistically?
Right.
And sometimes you do, with the authority I have granted you, sometimes mm-hmm. you have to say no. And
true.
Sometimes I pout about it. But then...
sometimes? You're a baby girl. That lower lip, I never saw a lower lip,
lower lip
that pouts so...
it trembles.
Oh my
perfectly.
Goodness.
I'm grateful for genetics. I have full lips, so when the lower lip comes out... perfect.
Man.
And I use that shit.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. this is a wild and crazy show.
Yes, it is.
I'm a little afraid for new listeners. and sorry for returning visitors. But that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I always pout. But what usually happens is I end up, one of two things happens. I either see the wisdom, and I go, oh yeah, God, he was mm-hmm. right. I'm so glad he stopped me from doing that. Or two, if I want it bad enough, I go back and I go, okay, how can I realistically make this work?
True.
And I come back with stronger arguments, or mm-hmm. I scale it back and go, well, what about this? It's a negotiation right. process.
And,
it's just another...
And then there are other times there are things that you should be doing that you aren't.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, then comes in where, you know, that's when you're pushing some boundaries. You have to,
sure.
you know, kind of step on that little less's toes. And
well, and that's where dominance, especially dominants who are comfortable in their skin or and who are either have embraced or are embracing the dominance they have and the dynamic you've negotiated with your submissive, that's where you do have a lot of power. Because if you see that your submissive has massive meltdowns when they don't get enough sleep, well, then mm-hmm. you can't necessarily, depending on your dynamic, you can't necessarily unilaterally decide you've got a bedtime, you're going to bed now, do it, unless that's how your dynamic works. But you can't decide, hey, this is on the table for discussion, and this is what right. I want you to do. Can yeah. I get your consent? Working out. I have not worked out consistently in many months. I also have not slept well in many months, and I know those two things are linked.
Are hand in hand, right.
And so, while we have not figured out how to make this work, because other things have changed, I know that your effort to right. make me a better person...
Right, but we were dealing with some of your health issues.
Sure.
Now, you know, your shoulder is still an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I
expect you to go to the gym and work out with a pinched nerve in your shoulder.
I know, yeah. But that's still... But see, and here's how it goes both ways, right? So as my daddy, 24/7 Dom, we have the agreement. If you came to me tomorrow and said, you're going to start working out again, you're going to have a bedtime, I am, being me, going to go, yes, but. I'm probably going to say yes because I recognize the wisdom of it because I'm sitting here talking about it. But I'm going to negotiate that and make right. sure it doesn't feel like punishment of some sort and it can work with the reality of our lives.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that, as you're submissive, I want you to stay healthy and sure. whole and be in a really good mood because while talking about grumpy polar bear is fun, living with them is a totally different experience.
It's not a good experience, no.
So that's how, when we started having this conversation, I turned to you and went, okay, what are we going to do about you? In the sense that... Mm-hmm. You have become more sedentary.
True.
You do not exercise the way you used to. You certainly do not sleep the way... Well, you sleep better than you used to, but not as good as you could.
And not, right.
It's kind of weird. So... but that's the point. So it's one thing to want to make me better, but I'm going to do the same for you if right. I see
because
the
you,
need.
Because you know that if I am not running at my best... How can I make the right decisions to
right.
serve?
Our DS crumbles once one or both of us hadn't had enough sleep.
Right.
Like it just falls down.
Yeah, and ain't no amount of coffee gonna fix that.
No. And so there's a lot of layers to it and a lot of levels. So there's the whole, from a submissive perspective, there's the whole, I want my daddy to be, you know, in the best shape he can be. I want him to be happy. I want him to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I want him to be whole. And then there's the other layer of, I want our DS to function well, and it doesn't when one or both of us are
right. not at our best.
And
yeah.
then, of course, there's the, I just want, it goes higher level than that. And then it's like, okay, our home is chaos when we're both cranky and tired and strung out and overworked and just mm-hmm. Frazzled, right?
Right.
So then higher level, I want something better for the whole household. So it's, you know, it serves multiple purposes to do that, to be that way, to think in those ways. And for the record, just so you know, I am not trying to paint either of us as perfect in this. There are many times, we could go weeks sometimes, and we are not thinking in those terms.
Absolutely.
We are like anybody else, just trying to get through the day and survive until the kids go to bed and we can like mindlessly watch TV or
something.
I mean,
you know, a good part of our time management issues.
Oh my gosh.
That came about at Christmas time and through the holidays was because someone, me, hi, kind of dropped the ball a little bit. You know, we had our DS relationship fairly well mapped out and negotiated. And I dropped the ball when it came to our work relationship.
And yet, here's what I hear as a submissive. Do not take all the blame, Daddy. It is a two-way street. I'll take some of the blame. But here's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I know there are dominants out there who look at it this way. I know there are some submissives who look at it this mm-hmm. way. Of it is totally a dominant's responsibility. They should take all the blame if something doesn't work right, or if something falls apart, or if something goes wrong. And to that, I say bullshit. Okay? I am a consenting adult woman in this relationship. I am, yeah. we did the episode on equality versus
true.
Balance.
That
versus,
is true.
Right?
That is
I
true.
Am your partner in this.
Right.
Okay. So it is never on something like that one person's fault. Because at any point, I should have waved a flag in the air and
should've
gone,
been waving that red flag.
We've got a problem over here.
Houston,
and that's
Houston, we have a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can even, because of the way I view our DS and I view myself as a submissive, I can even go back and go, as your submissive, I should have handled that better and not fixed it. It's not my job to unilaterally yeah. fix something, but it is my job to go, hey, Daddy, we got a problem. We got yeah. some. And what was happening is I was walking around with some frustration and some building resentment, which was
right.
not going to be helpful.
And we both were.
Right. Because we weren't
both
communicating.
Exactly.
And the whole point of saying that is just to prove that talking about it in this moment, right now, in a sort of clinical kind of way where we're objective mm-hmm. and it's the 50,000 foot view. Never think that we don't get pulled into the weeds ourselves easily forget it. It's not about being perfect at this every day. It's about seeing your opportunity when
life
you can
101.
Be better. Right?
Yeah.
It's taking the opportunities as they present themselves. So because I know some of y'all, because you've reached out to me, I can hear the people who are beating themselves up for all the times they didn't do whatever it is we're describing that they agree with.
Right.
You can do that, I guess, but it doesn't serve any purpose. Mm-hmm. All you can do now is move forward.
Right.
Thinking of it, hopefully, most of the time, in a different way.
Correct.
And do your best moving forward.
Yeah.
And sometimes the first step is not to change everything you do and start behaving in a different way. The first step is to look at your partner and go, we need to have a conversation. Can we talk about this?
It's always got to start with communication.
And here's the deal. You might not make any decisions or come to any resolution in that conversation.
Right.
That doesn't make it an unproductive conversation.
Oh, no.
The first step is always a conversation.
Yeah. But see, that for you and I, that's how we balance ourselves out. Mm-hmm. Because you're the, we got to do person.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And me, I don't jump into anything without thinking about it first.
And where I might be constantly trying to go and you have to pull me back, I am also, you're the one who will think something into the ground.
Well,
and
true.
I will sometimes look at you and go, we got to shit or get off the pot. These are our options.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
And it works for us.
Because for us being opposite in that manner, we balance each other out.
Right. For all our similarities, we really are. We are polar opposites.
in some ways, but we balance each other out through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. If you can, some people will say we're complete opposites because opposites attract. And some people will say we're exactly completely down to the smallest detail alike. I think both extremes are probably really rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people fall somewhere in the middle where you have things that you're very similar on and things you're very different on. And it's those differences that if you can harness them, will actually help each other. And you
True.
Will build each other up and you
Right.
will help the other be the best that they can be within your relationship, within your life, within your family, within whatever your structure is, whatever it is about your life where you kind of look and go, ooh, I could probably do that better. And if you are not the type of person to be able to look at every level of your life and say that, you should be a billionaire by now. Because I think
yeah.
we all look around at our life and go, oh, God, who is letting yeah. me be an adult? I would like to talk to that person and tell them how wrong they are. But yeah, I think ultimately, bottom line, because wow, this is a long winding topic. I think if you go into your DS relationship with each of you having the best of intentions,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that intentions mean nothing if you don't talk about them, the willingness to communicate and good intentions for the other person, not just for yourself, mm-hmm. then you're gonna be fine. You're not gonna get it right all the time.
No, nobody ever does.
You're gonna fuck it up before you get it right sometimes, because this is a skill like any other.
Right, but somehow that's how you learn. You learn exactly. from your mistakes.
Exactly, exactly. And I know there are people who are like, no, just tell me what to do. I can't.
No.
I can't tell you how to do it. All I can tell you is to have the conversation.
Give you options.
Right, tell you how we do it.
Yeah.
But we are different, and it is supposed to be different. And that's right. just like the dominant out there who's going, maybe I'm not dominant because I'm not like any of these other people I see. No, you're
your own person.
You're your own person. And if you feel like the elements of dominance speak mm-hmm. to you on some level, then you can be any kind of dominant you want as long as you've right. got the consent of your partner. Mm-hmm. And as long as, kind of like doctors, do no harm. That's yeah. not consensual.
I mean, but the bottom line is, you know, you hear so much in the online community of, you know, you build up your submissive, which is true. You do. You build up your submissive. You make them a better person.
Or you give them the space to become a better person. They have yeah. to do the work themselves.
But at the same time, you know, the other thing too, in any relationship, you know, if one person grows and the other person stagnates,
ooh, it's not going to end well.
That's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, as a dominant, it is a learning and growing experience as well.
Yes, you do not just put on the big D in front of your name and just you're not conferred with magical powers once you do that. And if you are, I'd like to go to that.
Dang, story. I wanted the wand.
We have a wand. You just have to plug it into the wall.
Wrong wand.
Damn, it's my favorite wand. Well, I try not to get frustrated because I know that it's human nature. And I know now that the final, I think, because I don't really keep up with these things, the final 50 Shades movie is out and popular, that more people are going, I might be kinky. Let me, God help us, go Google kinky sex and see what I find.
Oh, woo.
Well, it's a little bit like when your kid Googles White House. You know what I mean? It's like, but, you know, we get a lot of people all the time who come in for different reasons and discover their kinky side and see the fantasy and want what they see as the fantasy. And they either don't realize or they forget, or they think that because kink and BDSM are so diametrically opposed and different for the vanilla life, that it's got to be, every part of it's got to be completely different, that they forget that they have to just be the best human being they can be first.
True.
And a lot of us, every one of us is not the best human being we can be. We are all on a journey towards it. And my thing is if you're trying every day to be as decent as you can,
to be a better person,
as life and circumstances allow, then you're on the right path. And you're going to fuck it up and you're going to get it wrong and you're going to forget to talk about something that was bothering you and start making assumptions. We did the whole episode on expectations.
Right.
We do that more often than I care to really admit. Mm-hmm. Because it's part of living your life and going through your day to day, and we can't always be thinking every moment of every day, how do I do this DS thing perfectly? Because that's not realistic either.
No.
So if you just set out with the best of intentions and a willingness to communicate, you will get there.
Right.
It, depending on where you are in life and where you are personally, it'll take longer or less time, but you'll grow
as a submissive, you will grow as a dominant.
Right. And any good relationship, I don't care what kind of relationship, I don't care if it's a play relationship, I don't care if it's romantic, I don't care if it's friendship, I don't care what kind of relationship it is. When you genuinely want something good to happen for the other person too,
mm-hmm.
you can just, even when you like really fuck up, you are still working towards that, and you are still doing the right thing, even if you don't yet have the skills yet to make it as good as it could be.
True.
And when you do fuck up, because you will, admit it, talk about it, and if it's a legitimate fuck up, apologize for it.
But you know that's a big part of growing and learning, you know, being the one in charge, the Big D, you have to be willing to admit your mistakes.
And submissives, you have to let them admit their mistakes. That is hard for some of us. I don't like it when you say you're sorry.
The first time I did that, when I made a big boo-boo and I
did not like that.
You did not.
I still don't like it because I don't want you to be wrong. My intellectual side knows it's possible, but I'm not infallible. And that right there, recognizing it, saying it, and living like you're not infallible is what truly, at the heart of it, I don't care what all the details are below it, that is what makes you a good dom. Okay? Because the rest are skills that can be learned. The rest are techniques that you learn. The other details are how how we learn to communicate with one another in a way that's mutually beneficial. A lot of what happens outside of that top tier level of knowing you're not perfect and knowing you're not infallible is how I interact as well. So some of those other things are about me too. But that right there, that one admission is what gives you the potential to be a good dom. Because the moment you understand you can make a mistake and you are comfortable apologizing for it, then I can't even express to you how easy it is to hand you the power and say, look, you get the power because I know that you're going to be careful with it. And I know that if you fuck up, you're going to fix it. But the people, I don't care how they identify, who cannot admit that to themselves or other people and will not behave in that way, they are scary and should not be given the power, should not be given control, because how can you ever trust them? Because we are all human and we will fuck up. And even when we're trying to do the best for our partner, we will get it wrong.
Unfortunately, you know, sometimes, yes, it's you fuck up with the best intentions.
Exactly. But it's how you behave afterwards. If you fucked up and never apologized for it, it would slowly, each time that happened, it would erode my trust a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cannot submit to you the way I want to and the way I need to. For me to submit the way I need to is a fulfilling thing. It makes me better as a person to be able to express my love for my partner in the way that is most natural for me. That is the easiest way to make me a better human being. Let me be exactly who I am. If I feel like I have to hold back my submission because I cannot trust you, I am not being all of who I am. So in the simplest, most basic terms, your ability and willingness to admit those things and to live your life that way automatically makes you a better dom, regardless of the skills you have or have not learned yet. As a submissive, though, what I think, there are a lot of things that can help us, but what I have to be able to do is to let you fuck up. Okay, submissives have this really, not all of us, okay, hashtag not all submissives, but submissives in general have this really bad habit of excusing bad behavior from our doms, because we do not like to think that somebody that we trust or care about or have placed our bodies, minds, and souls in their hands can fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us will take the blame. Some of us will say it's okay. Some of us will ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. Some of us will allow bad, shitty behavior to continue because we don't want to confront it, or we don't want to deal with whatever fallout we think is happening. A source and a signal of strength of a submissive is the ability to say, in the whatever terms work in your dynamic, yes, you fucked up. And yes, I'm holding you responsible for that. I don't hate you. I don't judge you. We will work through it. But yes, I'm going to hold you accountable for your behavior.
Well, yeah, but that to me is all part of growing, because you can't save somebody from themselves.
Mm-mm.
All right, you have to allow someone to make a mistake in order to grow. Hopefully, any mistake you make, you are going to take a lesson from it,
right,
and be learn
better next time.
And be better next time, and know not to make the same mistake again.
Right, and if you are with somebody who is continually making the same mistakes, there's a problem.
Now, I mean, you know, short of seeing someone do something that's going to cause financial ruin or bodily harm to someone, you have to kind of as the old saying goes, enough rope to hang themselves, so to speak.
Right.
Okay. A little extreme, but
you
know what I mean. You know, if you never make any mistakes,
you never grow.
You don't grow.
And as somebody who went most of my childhood not making a lot of mistakes, most of my teenage years not making a lot of major mistakes, you also don't know how to handle it when it happens. Because eventually a mistake happens
yes.
so big you can't talk your way out right. of or pretend it didn't happen. You have mm-hmm. to stare that mistake yeah. in the face.
Yeah.
And if you've never made smaller mistakes and had to handle them, I'm telling you from personal experience, the first big major fuck up you have will feel traumatic.
Yes. Yeah.
It will feel traumatic.
Yep.
Even if it's not really. But yeah, I know that I have to let you say, I'm sorry. I don't mm-hmm. have to like it, but I have to let you.
Right.
I have to let you say, I fucked up. I could have harmed us. I have to let you say I contributed to harming us. I mm-hmm. have to... The other side of that is I also have to be able to, and this is it's not a submissive thing. I think it's a human thing. It is definitely part of my nature. I have to also, it is important to me to be able to go, yes, you fucked up. And here's how I contributed to. Here's how I could have done things differently. And when we have those conversations together
mm-hmm.
and when we get to a point of understanding, then we grow together.
True.
From whatever. And we are right. better for it together. It's something we went through, small or big. We've had both extremes.
Both, yes.
And we walk away from the conversation or series of conversations or weeks of dealing with a thing, and we are better for it.
We are better for it individually
mm-hmm.
and better for it as a couple.
And when it works well... When, even if a situation isn't completely resolved, but we feel good about how we handled it, we feel good about the outcome or the conversation, we are stronger.
Yeah.
Because we just went through something and we dealt with it together and we dealt with it without getting in each other's throats or calling names or, mm-hmm. you know, the things that happen in the heat of a moment. And we get through it and we go, look, we just went through that thing and we will try not to go through that thing again. And we will go through other things together. But now we have now built a foundation and a basis and an experience of what it means to go through a thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
how are we going to speak to each other? How are we going to do it? You know, is this a kink thing? And we're going to go into like some deep negotiations on a DS level. Is this a business thing? And we're going to go have coffee and talk about
right.
it. Is this just a let's go take a walk around the block and just chat with one another and kind of share how we feel. Every experience you have together, you learn from, you take something with from it and you apply it to the next time something similar happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that is yet another way of improving yourself and each other and the relationship as a whole.
Right.
And if you spend your entire relationship avoiding hard conversations, avoiding confrontation, not saying what you think, not saying what you mean, that is just as negative and detrimental as the person who takes their power over another and abuses it. It is in a different
yeah.
way, maybe at a different pace. It might happen slower, but it is just as detrimental to a relationship.
Yeah.
I think I ran out of steam.
I was going to say, I was just going to ask, are we good? Did we...
I ran out of breath on that last one.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that was ranty and rambly from both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All now, right. I think we're good. We are going to
yeah.
have a short bonus section. No
yes.
postcards this week. So a short little bonus section. But if you survived our rant, you are among some amazing people who have survived our rant.
That's true.
if you are a proud cricket or want to know what the hell that means, stick around for a few
yeah.
more minutes and we'll do the bonus section. And yeah, I think we're good. And
all
also...
Right.
Clearly, Twitter has a huge influence on our lives.
Yeah.
Just want to point out the obvious there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah,
all
we'll
right.
go into bonus section.
Okay. Let's
okay,
wrap it
y'all.
Up.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right.
We'll see.
Keep it
kinky,
y'all.
We'll see you next week. Can I?
Baby girl, you wait.
Please.
Baby.
The crickets.
Baby girl.
Think of the crickets.
Somebody, baby girl.
Somebody just had to pull their earbud away.
Yeah, I know.
Daddy, let me talk to
What are you doing to these
crickets.
Poor people?
I'm trying to talk to them. Please let me talk to the crickets. Please.
Go ahead.
Pinky daddy. Okay. So no, we did not get any mail this week.
No.
And I know Pixie and her family sent something, mm-hmm. but and it still has not arrived.
No.
So I don't know what's going on with that. And if you would like to send us a postcard, if you include your return address, eventually, maybe when I'm old, I'll remember to send a postcard back. But you can send us a postcard or a card or a letter. We've gotten all kinds of stuff. Some people like to put something in an envelope. They don't want their mail carrier to to see anything or whatever. But you can send it to us at P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. Because we talk about that all the time. We are in Florida. Zip code 34681. 34681. Okay. So we have stuff going on, but not stuff that's like exciting.
True.
Like we.
Well, you know, the thing I wanted to talk about that I got quite a good chuckle out of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla and I have taken to... walking the dog together in midday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever it is we're doing, we both stop and we'll both take the dog for a walk and just enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
So the day before we recorded this, while we're walking, Kayla pipes up, we need to see what we're going to do for the podcast while we're in London.
I know, I'm mentally preparing. When are we going to record ahead of time?
What are the topics going to be? Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we have so much going on. Like she talked about trying to get, you know, her client work done and ahead.
And the travel.
We go. And
the
travel plans.
In order to travel.
Right. So, you know, my gosh, there is a lot going on. And I looked at Kayla and I just said, well, my thought is, why don't we take a hiatus and we don't have to worry about any of it and we just enjoy our time together.
And here's the thing. First of all, we would be enjoying our time together. It would already be done before we even left. But second, so that was my initial thought. Well, we would enjoy our time together. But
yeah, but it would all be the frustration leading up to the time together.
And there's going to be enough of that, quite frankly. And so a part of me like immediately rebelled in my head, like, oh, no, that feels awful. And then part of me went, no, that feels really good. I really like the idea of that. Because I had committed to taking scheduled planned breaks this year.
Correct.
That it's not the end of the world if we take a couple of weeks off. That, yes, the crickets certainly will miss us, but... it's also understandable.
Right.
Even we get to sleep sometimes. But so at first I had that like inner pull of, oh God, that's awful. And then I went, no, okay. And then I said the hardest words ever of, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And then the moment I said it, I felt like I was betraying my my goals in life. And then because I felt so relieved, like I went, oh my God, that's something I don't even have to think about. Like I took it right off of my mental to-do list. And then while we're walking the dog, I go, you know, I'm going to do that for Snotlancer too. And I for a moment felt like really bad. And then I went, oh no, that feels really good too. Yeah.
See?
To take it just off my to-do list completely. I've just opened up easily 6 hours of time. From saying that we won't do that ahead of time.
Right.
So I know some of y'all are like, oh, we'll miss you. And we will miss you too. I promise you, when we get back, we'll be like, we have so much to talk about.
We'll be stomping at the bit when we get back.
Exactly.
And at the same time, you know, while we're in London, we'll be at Eroticon and we'll be talking to people there and doing some recordings.
We're doing a podcast panel.
Correct.
With Kinkcraft.
Yes.
Which I think... we're going to have the audio recording to share with our listeners. I'm thinking I'm going to just put that on Smutlancer.
Yeah, but that's a better fit for there.
Yeah, if there are portions where kinksters would want to know, you know, it's something maybe about kink, then we'll certainly, you know, air that part as part of an episode or something. But the full thing will definitely be on Smutlancer.
Right.
And then we haven't set the time yet, but I know we're going to talk to Amy of Coffee and Kink. If we can get time to talk to Molly and Michael and record, I mean, I know we'll have time to talk to them, but to record, I may ask them if they're willing to do that. I know they're willing, but if they would be willing during that time frame sure. to do it.
They've got a lot going on.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, just a 3-day event, whatever. Yeah. And then there are other Kingsters we're going to see. I know we're going to see Pixie. I know. Sure. I mean, there's a lot of people
yeah.
that I know listen that we're going to get to see. And if we can do something with that, then man, that'd be even better. We come back with all these recordings mm-hmm. and yay. But that's then. Right now I'm trying to go through my mental map and figure out how to get ready for it because
yeah.
perfect world scenario.
Uh-huh.
I don't get perfect world, but I strive for it. My perfect world scenario is that when we get in the car at like the earliest fucking time in the morning on March 13th to spend 10 hours driving to Mississippi.
You know how I am about getting the hell out of Dodge before rush hour traffic hits.
As long as you make sure I have coffee, I don't give two shits. when I get in the car and I'm riding down the road, my perfect scenario is that all client work is done and anything that I was going to publish on a blog for about a week and a half is already scheduled.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Right.
And then, yeah, I check email and we will be available by email, y'all. And we, right. you know, as we're on Wi-Fi, we'll check things in the community. We'll be around.
We'll be around. I mean, we'll still be lurking in Twitter.
Lurking? Are you kidding me? I'll probably be like, let's take a selfie next to something in England.
Right.
You know? So yeah, so I mean, it was scary at first to agree, yeah. but it was only scary for about half a second.
But, yeah, because I saw the way you're. At first, there was a look of horror in your eyes.
The look of horror. It was
and then it turned to a look of relief.
Yeah, it was something yeah. off my list because what I need to do is make the list of what I want to get done because I have a perfect world scenario part two. I would like to call it a stretch goal.
Okay.
The stretch goal
mm.
is to have so much work that I can, because not all my work can be done ahead of time.
Yeah.
Have so much work done ahead of time that when we get back from London, I actually don't really have to do much until like the last week of March. Like almost nothing to have to do. Where it's literally 2 weeks off instead of like a few days. Because do y'all remember at Christmas when we were like, oh, we're going to take a couple weeks off and we're going to have a vacation? I took one day off of the whole time.
Yeah.
The entire 2 weeks we were gone, I took one day off. And that was not good for my mental health at
no,
all.
No, neither of us.
It was
mental
awful.
Health.
When we came home from Mississippi, I crashed for 3 days.
Yes.
And I still tried to work and do stuff, but I crashed. And I had a depressive low on top of some anxiety.
The only day she actually took off over the holidays was the day we went to see Star Wars.
That was a good day, though.
Yeah.
And and our plan before we go to Mississippi, I'm taking the kids. We're going to see Black Panther.
True.
We are going to see. I'm waiting for the crowds to disperse a little bit.
Right. I mean, yeah, we don't go to the movies very often.
No, we don't go the first 2 weeks.
Especially on the first 2 weeks when it's released.
When everybody's going to it. No. But yeah, so I think I am more excited. I'm excited for Eroticon for a lot of reasons. I'm also mentally, I've got this block in my head where I'm not thinking about the presentation that I still haven't written that I have to give, that I agreed to give, that I'm excited to give. I have not written the presentation yet. So that there is still that too. Is your tummy growling? I don't know if the mic picked that up. If you heard a low growl in the distance, I think his tummy was growling. You'll have lunch, don't worry, soon enough. I am ecstatic about, I got to get through the next couple weeks,
right.
but I am so excited, especially because while I am a really nervous traveler in general, I'm not good with being in places where I don't know where I am. I have one of my really major anxieties is of getting lost. Thinking about getting lost is like bringing tears to my eyes. It's a big one. I love the idea of travel, mm-hmm. but I always like it to be really controlled and structured. And my idea of travel is to go to the hotel I need to be at, not leave except to walk a couple of blocks to get dinner. And that's not how it's going to work in London. We are not right where I wanted to be on, you know, as close to on site as possible.
I know.
Couldn't do that this year. I'm excited because you're going to be there with me. and we're going to be doing it together, and it's time off, and you're going to actually get to see and meet the people I got to meet last year, and we're going to meet people we've not actually physically met before, and it's all exciting, and yet I'm just mentally hyperventilating about being in London. Hyperventilating about it.
Now, I have to make, excuse me, part of it's unfortunately we've had some unseasonably warm weather here.
Pollen.
And the trees are just going nuts over it, and I have seasonal allergies, so it's playing hell with
He's
me right
phlegmy,
now.
He's phlegmy, y'all. He's very phlegmy.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of excited. I'm not gonna lie, I am a bit nervous about it.
You're gonna take to it like a duck to water.
But mostly I am looking forward to it. You know, especially after you know, seeing how well, after you got back, how much you enjoyed it last year.
I was planning this year's trip in the
on the way back home,
the airport. Hell I know. Yeah. And see, here's the hard part, y'all, and I haven't told too many people this. We probably might have said it on the show before, so this might be familiar to y'all. I had to promise that for 2019 Eroticon, that I would not commit to whether I could go or not until, like, October. And only then if I could easily see how I would pay for it and not have to take on extra projects to do it. And if I go to 2019 Eroticon, I will be by myself for that one, which makes me very sad.
Well,
unless one of my smutty writer friends who maybe lives in Florida or some other part of the country wants to come with me, that would be different.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I even when I know what's going to happen, we're going to go to Eroticon. It's going to be fucking amazing. After my knees stop shaking for my 45-minute presentation, because they will shake the whole time. And then we're going to get back on Tuesday night. We'll be back in New Orleans after Eroticon. And I am going to be, like, begging you to let me commit. I'm going to be ready to go back. That's what happened last year. It's going to happen this year. I have no doubt. And I promised. We negotiated. I had to agree that I have to give us several months where I'm not worried about a thing I'm trying to go to.
Exactly.
Give it several months to build up all our income streams, not just my client work, but other things. And if in October of 2018, it is clear that I could afford it without taking on a whole bunch of crazy extra projects to do,
right,
then I can go.
Because you have to understand, folks. I mean, yes, you know, I am going this year, so it took a little bit more to do. But you know, for quite a while there, from before Christmas to just about, what, a week ago? You know, who are you?
I know. I'm still technically, I'm in the middle of it. I've got two more big projects to finish up. And then I had to tell all my clients, you cannot ask me to do anything special in March. I'm traveling for 2 weeks. I'm not taking on any extra projects. They were all totally cool about it.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to hold it for April. So, I mean, yeah, it's... I love our freelance life. Like, I do love it. I love being in control, as stressful as it can be. And I know there are people out there going, oh, hell no, just let me just do my 8 to 5. And and I respect and totally get it. But yeah, I, as crazy and as hectic and as frenetic and as frustrating as it can be, I'm fucking going to London.
Yeah.
With my husband. And I'm going to go talk to sexy, kinky people.
True.
And for a whole weekend, I'm going to get called Kayla.
It's going to be like a weekend-long munch.
I know. And for a whole weekend, you're just going to get called John Brownstone.
I know, right?
Okay. So I think that's enough gushing.
Are we
now.
Good?
Vaguely. Yeah. Your stomach is growling. I need to order you. I need to get you some lunch.
Right.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you so much.
I feel like this show was a little chaotic today.
Maybe
in a good way. I hope. Very ranty.
Yeah, you both. I know.
I always love it when you get ranty. You have this reputation of being so calm and cool and collected, and when you're like, "Let me tell you something," you know, I just feel like people listen. When I do it, they go, "Oh, there goes that
Kayla again."
That's okay. I know at least a couple of baby girls gasp every time I drop an F-bomb, so I've done my part. So, yeah, we love you guys, and a couple more weeks, and then we'll take 2 weeks off, and then we'll be back. I think we're going to do another hiatus in the summer. Pushing for a family vacation this summer.
I know you are.
I'm pushing it real hard.
We'll see.
We'll see what we can do.
It would be nice.
It might even be doable. Yep. Okay, y'all. Right. We love you guys.
We love you.
I will see you next week. Thank you. Bye.